Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 in your King James Bible. Luke chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Preach on the subject of prayer. We're going to read the first 13 verses. This is, I've said many times, my favorite passage in the Bible on the subject of prayer. I have a favorite single verse. That's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Favorite passage of Scripture is this one, Luke chapter 11. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And what takes place here in verses 2 through 13 is the Lord replying to his disciples' request to teach them to pray. And so that's exactly what he does, and that's exactly what these verses here we just read are intended to do. And he uses this little, I guess you could call it a parable, it's not really, but a story here in the middle of the thing to illustrate and get his point across about praying. And he says in verse 5 again, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Lend me 3 loaves. The reason he asked for 3 loaves is because he says, A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. All righty? But I want you to specifically notice the initial request here in this little story here. Friend, in verse number 5, lend me 3 loaves. I want to talk tonight about the 3 loaves. Lend me 3 loaves. That's what I need. And so when we think of loaves, at least I do, I assume this is probably a natural initial thought, and that would be bread, loaves of bread. I guess other things come in loaves. Bologna comes in a loaf, doesn't it? But I don't think 3 loaves of bologna. I think 3 loaves of bread. What else comes in a loaf? I don't know. Shoes come in loafers, I guess. I don't know. Meat loaf? That don't come in a loaf. That's 3 loaves of bread is what he wants. 3 loaves of bread. All righty. Because he's got a friend that's coming, and he has nothing to set before him. Certainly, the picture is clear. We're the one in great need. And we're the ones that have a friend of ours, that friends of ours, in their journey through life, cross our paths, and they come to us, and we're very helpless to give them anything. We have nothing to set before them. We cannot be a help to folks at all. But while we have friends of ours in their journeys crossing our paths, coming to us at different times and in different ways, and we don't have anything set before them, we do want to set something before. We do want to be a help to them. We want to provide for them. We want to be a blessing to them. I had assumed that. And also in this particular little story here, we are the ones that not only have friends of ours in their journeys come to us, we have another friend. And this is the friend that we go to at midnight. And when we go to this friend at midnight, we say unto him, friend, that's how we address him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. We are the ones that need something because we have nothing. And what we need and what we want and what we ask for is 3 loaves. And so I want to address the 3 loaves tonight from the standpoint of the 3 loaves. I think we see in this entire passage of Scripture that we read, the 3 persons of the Godhead. We see the fullness of God. 3 is a number of Trinity. You know that in the Bible. And we are talking about the Godhead, as in commonly referred to as the Trinity, as in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that was his request for what would take care of his friend in his journey that came needing something, but he had nothing of his own to give him. So what he's asking God for here in this little story here is 3 loaves, as in the fullness of God, as in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to notice tonight in this lesson here on Lord, teach us to pray, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in this lesson on prayer. And I think this is something that would be very practical and very helpful to us in our praying, in our prayer life, if we can see this. First of all, let's notice the Father. The first of the 3 loaves, the Father here. The Father is referred to in verse number 2 and in verse number 13. Verse number 2, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, and so forth. So our prayer is directed to our Father, which art in heaven. It's directed to God, the Father. That's who we pray to. He is the one that we ask for the help. That's the one that we pray to. But you notice, not only is he the one that we ask, he's the one that answers. Verse number 13 concludes the lesson. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All righty, he's the one that answers the request for the 3 loaves. All righty. And so the Father is the one that we ask, and he's the one that answers. And so we have the first loaf of the 3, the Father. Then I want you to notice the Son. The Son in this passage is referenced as the friend. Now these 3, again, are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Specifically identified, these 3 are one, is the plain statement of 1 John 5:7, if you have a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, you probably won't even find that verse in there, all right, because most other versions completely eliminate it and just do away with the Godhead there. So hang on to your King James Bible, which I'm sure you do anyway, but that's one good reason for it. So second person of the Godhead is the Lord Jesus, of course, the Son, God the Son, and he is referenced here again as the friend, which if you shall have a friend that you can actually go to at midnight. I have some friends, but I wouldn't even think about calling them at midnight. It would have to be one dire emergency before I would call them at midnight. But Jesus obviously is a friend that you can go to at midnight or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or any time in the morning, and you can say unto him, friend, and you can talk to him. He is also a friend, the Bible says here in this story, that you can not only come to, it says in verse 5, he goes unto him at midnight, but you can continue to go to him at midnight and at 12:30 and at 1 and at 1:30 and at 2 and at 2:30 and on and on and on. You can pester this friend, all righty? You can trouble this friend in the sense of making a nuisance out of yourself. You find a very similar story to this in chapter 18 about a woman that went to an unjust judge, and he granted her request because she troubled him. She wearied him. She just kept coming and coming and coming and coming, asking for his help and his intervention. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, you know, because what he said was he's going to grant her request because she was troubling him and she was wearing him out. And so the idea here is similar. This is such a friend that this guy, namely us, represented here in the story here, can go to the Lord Jesus at midnight, and we can go constantly, and we can go continually, and we can go on and on and on, even though it is late, and as he says, the door is shut, the children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee, and though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth, and this is a friend that will answer, all righty, and this is a friend that you can keep pestering. Jesus is the friend. Alrighty, Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Chapter 17, verse 17 of Proverbs says that a friend loveth at all times, even at midnight in your life when things are very, very dark and very, very difficult and you are absolutely helpless and you are absolutely needy and that you have no other recourse and no other resource, you can always come to the Lord Jesus. He is your friend. John chapter 15, he clearly identified himself and us as friends. In John chapter 15, listen to what Jesus told his disciples the night before he died on the cross for them. He said in verse number 13 of John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Everything my Father's told me, he says, I've told you. I haven't kept things back from you. You do know what's going on. You know what I'm here for. You know what I'm about to do. You know why I'm about to do it. And you know what I want you to do. After I'm dead and gone, you know what's going to happen next. I've told you, and I haven't kept back anything because you're my friends. You're my friends. All righty? And so we have here in our passage in Luke chapter 11, the father that we ask for his help and that answers. We have the friend that allows us. We have that relationship with God as well, not only the father relationship, but we have the friend relationship as well that we can go to him at any time for any need, even when we are absolutely bankrupt and have absolutely nothing to offer anybody of our own and in ourselves. But then I want you to notice, thirdly, the third person of this Godhead, the third loaf, if you please, is the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice this, the Holy Spirit is only mentioned one time in this passage, and that is in verse number 13. After the request, Lord teaches to pray, after the instruction about what to pray for in verse 2, 3, and 4, after the illustration with the story about how to actually do it and how to keep at it and stay at it and why and all this other kind of stuff, after the great promises that if we will pray that way, as a friend going to a friend, as a son going to a father, if we will pray that way and pray that way and pray that way, importunity was the word he used in verse number 8. In other words, we're going to keep at it until the answer comes. Ask and ask and ask and ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and seek and seek, and ye shall find. Knock and knock and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh and asketh and asketh and asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh and seeketh and seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh and knocketh and knocketh, it shall be opened. What a great promise. So he concludes the lesson then with the fact in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, there's several fathers here in the room, and if you're one of your children ask you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? And the answer is, of course not. No way. All righty. If he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? And the answer is, of course not. Especially me. I wouldn't give a kid a snake. I wouldn't give him a rubber snake. I wouldn't give him a snake for nothing, because that means I'd have to handle the thing. I am not a snake handler. I don't like snakes. I don't even like pictures of snakes. I don't like rubber snakes. I don't like real snakes. I don't even like dead snakes. I don't like snakes, period. I do not like snakes at all, any way, shape, or form, for any reason. You can tell me all the good things they do. They eat rats and mice and everything else like that. Well, good for them. I'd rather have a rat than a snake. All right? I'd rather the rat ate the snake. But don't like snakes. So, no, I'm not going to give any of my children. I'm not going to give Ben or Rachel or Heidi or Jacob or Jackson. I'm not going to give anybody. I'm not going to give any of you a snake. All righty? If you ask for a fish. May not give you a fish either, because I'm not much of a fisherman. But we can stop by Long John Silver sometime. Maybe I'll give you a fish, but that'd be about it. But I'm definitely not going to give you a snake. Or if you ask an egg, I'm not going to offer you a scorpion either. A scorpion is no substitute for an egg. You may not like eggs, but you definitely don't like scorpions. All righty? And, you know, depending on who you listen to and what day you listen, eggs may or may not be good for you, but scorpions will kill you. so you're not going to offer. And he says that's how we are. We're that way. If a son asks bread, then we're going to try to give him bread. If he asks fish, we're going to try to give him fish. If he asks egg, I guess he wants a egg and fish sandwich. I don't know. But whatever he's going to do with it, that's what we'll try to give him. And the Bible says we'll do that even though, verse number 13, we're evil. We are not God. We are not perfect. We are not holy. We are not anything in and of ourselves. We're just evil in and of ourselves. But even in our evilness, or evility, is that a word? I love words. I love to make up new words. Evility. I like that one. Evility. In our evility, our sinfulness, our wickedness, we know how to give good gifts unto our children. We know how to give good things to our children. We know how to give them bread and a fish or egg or something, whatever they need. We know how to give good gifts to our children. I know how to give good gifts to my grandson. I bought him a Hawkeye hat. I'm going to take to him. Every little kid ought to have a Hawkeye hat. Offered to buy him a Yankee hat. Heidi said, get him the Hawkeye hat. We're evil. We know how to give good gifts unto our children. So Jesus concludes a lesson on prayer. How much more, if we know how to do it, and we're evil, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, who is not evil, how much more shall he give, you notice this, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? See, here is the Holy Spirit's role in this three-loaf deal. Lend me three loaves. Well, the Father is the one that we ask and the one that answers. The friend is the one that allows us to come at midnight and keep coming at midnight, and we'll get up and answer because we just keep coming and coming and coming. And when we do get the answer that we get is the third loaf. The answer that we get is the Holy Spirit. When a friend of ours in their journey comes across our path, comes across our life, we absolutely have nothing to set before them. But we can have something, and what we need is the Holy Spirit. The answer to this whole thing here is the Holy Spirit. The answer to the illustration, a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. The answer is he'll give him as many as he needeth, verse number 8. And what a person needs is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is going to make a Pentecostal happy tonight. So this is what I really want you to notice out of the whole thing. In this lesson, Lord teach us to pray. He teaches us to pray to the Father. And we can, because of our friendship relationship and the answer that we need and the answer that the Heavenly Father gives is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk about this for the rest of the message, which hopefully won't be long. I took a real good shot. I was really excited this morning. I thought I was going to be done. Invitation, whole business, dismissed before noon. Didn't happen. Matter of fact, I think we're a couple minutes longer than usual. I was really disappointed. I really thought, boy, I had me a 4x6 note card and notes on it and notes. That's how you stay with it. And I thought, man, I'm doing a great job just staying with this and we're going to be done. Longer than usual. So I'm taking another shot at it tonight. It's one of those things you just keep shooting. Eventually you're going to hit something accidentally, if nothing else. But I got one more point here, and that's this third one, the answer. When he said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, and he gives all these things that we commonly call this the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17. When Jesus prayed the night before he died on the cross. This is more like a model prayer. This is a list essentially of things to pray about and things like that, kind of a prayer list. And the answer to all of those things that he mentions in verse 2, 3, and 4, as well as the answer to the situation in the little story here about a friend, I have nothing. The answer is the Holy Spirit. When we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If God's name is going to be hallowed, as in sanctified and holy and set apart, we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, the Bible tells us. And if we are going to do that, it will be a work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. It will be the work of the Holy Spirit doing that very thing. Setting the Lord apart. That is not something that we can do ourselves. That is something that the Holy Spirit can do. It's something that the Holy Spirit does do. And when we are praying, dear God, I want your name to be hallowed. I want your name to be holy in my life. I want your name to be sacred and sanctified in my life. I want to honor your name by my life. That is of necessity, a need for the Holy Spirit. And the answer, and the fact of the matter is, if the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to us, then we will hallow His name. Now, by the way, time out. This is why these little notes kind of get blown off pieces, and they don't really let me get to that short thing that I'm looking for. Is because all these by the ways. And we won't dwell long on this by the way, but by the way, you already know when it says them that ask the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean that we do not have the Holy Spirit, so we have to ask the Heavenly Father, please give me the Holy Spirit because I don't have Him. That's not the idea. We already know that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you permanently, sealed in you. He is the seal Himself, and you have had ever since the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior. He became your personal Savior, living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit of Christ, and He has never left, and He is never going to leave. You are sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit with you everywhere you go, every second that you live, and you have had since you are saved. This is not a case of you do not have the Holy Spirit, but you ask the Father and He'll give you the Holy Spirit. This is a case of you have the Holy Spirit, but you need the Holy Spirit's work. You need the Holy Spirit actively helping you. And if you are going to pray as the Lord taught His disciples to pray, that the Lord's name would be hallowed and holy and sacred and sanctified in your life, it will be so by a work of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to pray, "Dear Lord, Thy kingdom come," whether you're talking about the Lord coming His kingdom on earth appearing, we know from our Sunday school studies and just being in church for years, we know that the Lord's going to set up a kingdom after the tribulation and all this other kind of stuff. We know about the millennium and all that kind of stuff. We also know there's a kingdom of God that is within you. Chapter 17 here, this Gospel of Luke tells us. And we know that that is a spiritual kingdom. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We enter that by being born again. And we know that that spiritual kingdom is something that people need to be born again into. And so this is, if we're praying about God's spiritual kingdom, we're praying for people to be saved. And that's certainly a legitimate thing. But if people are going to be saved, it will be a work of the Holy Ghost that will convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John chapter 16, so that people can be saved. And that's why Jesus said, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go away, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment," and explain why for all three of them. But it is a work of the Holy Spirit. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And so if we're praying for God's kingdom to come, we're praying for God's name to be hallowed, then we are praying for the Holy Spirit, even if we don't know that, because the answer to that request is the Holy Spirit. If we're praying that God's will would be done, as in heaven, so on earth. If we're praying that God's will would be done, for example, in our nation, we're praying for our political leaders, that they would do God's will. Boy, it is the Holy Spirit that's going to have to direct their thinking. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to have to open their understanding. If we're praying for God's will to be done in our church, that we would know what God wants us to do as a church, then we're praying for the Holy Spirit's leadership, for the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God. If we're praying for the Holy for the will of God to be done in our own life, "Dear God, teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God," as Psalm 143 says. If we're praying that we individually would do God's will, then we are of necessity praying that the Holy Spirit would guide our steps and speak to our heart and let us know for sure what the Lord wants us to do. If we are praying that God's will would be done for our prayer requests, we do this every Wednesday night when we pray. We submit everything we ask, every single prayer request that we make, we submit it to the will of God, because the Bible tells in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God, because we know not how to pray as we ought, the Bible says. So it is the Holy Spirit of God that is absolutely necessary. If we are serious about the will of God for our life, for our prayer life, for our church, for our family, for our nation, it is absolutely necessary that the Holy Spirit of God is the answer to our request, honestly, "Thy will be done." Verse number 3, "Give us day by day our daily bread." You may not make a connection here between your daily needs and the Holy Spirit, but there is a connection between praying for your daily need, day by day, our daily bread, that would include your material provisions, that would include things like food and all the material stuff that we got to have, the physical, tangible stuff that we got to have. The Lord gives us that as well. We need to understand that. It doesn't come from our paycheck. It doesn't come from Hy-Vee and Walmart. It comes from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the means, the strength to work, to make a living. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the means to budget and use our money wisely. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us direction on how to get money or how to use the money that we have wisely. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom on how to get by if we don't have money. It is the Holy Spirit that does all of that. Our daily bread, though, is not only the tangible, material, physical things. It's also the spiritual things. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. We need this daily bread as well. God's word. Give us every day our daily bread from the scriptures as well. Every day we need to meet the Lord in the scriptures. Every day we need the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart from the scriptures. And he will, and he does. And we need the Holy Spirit. That's the answer to our day-by-day daily bread. Verse number 4, we pray for forgiveness of sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Both sides of this thing, being forgiven and forgiving ourselves, is a work, again, of the Holy Spirit. That's not human nature to be forgiving, but it is a spiritual nature that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And then asking the Lord to forgive us our sins. We need the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us that there is sin in our life. There's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. Hey, that thing is not right. That thought you just had, that's not right. The way you spoke is not right. What you're thinking, that's not right. What you just did is not right. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and he reproves us, and he pricks our conscience. The Holy Spirit does that, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings the scriptures to our mind that gives us faith to trust the Lord, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that allows us to claim that forgiveness and enjoy that forgiveness and believe that forgiveness and not go on and on and on with a guilty conscience, but to be cleansed from all unrighteousness with a clean conscience and a clean heart. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does that. And so then verse number 4, lead us not into temptation. We have the privilege as God's children, Romans chapter 8, that to be led by the Holy Spirit, and he leads and guides our steps, and he does so even without us being consciously aware of that. It's just an amazing thing how that the Lord works in our life and leads us to do certain things. Sometimes that leading involves interruptions. Sometimes that it involves detours. Sometimes it involves delays and things like that that we sometimes get irritated about and we get upset about and sometimes just flat mad about and everything else like that. But it's the Holy Spirit oftentimes just leading us. He does lead us. The answer to lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil is the Holy Spirit. Our victory over sin, over even the temptation, is the Holy Spirit of God. And our yielding to him and him having his way in our life instead of us having our way in our life. Our point is, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and he says, all right, here's your prayer list, the answer to all of those things that we need from our friend is the 3 loaves, as many as you need, as often as you need, you can have the Holy Spirit of God that will provide and lead and guide and everything else like that. And while it is true, we in and of ourselves have nothing of any kind to set before friends of ours in their journeys that cross our life, we can have all the fullness of God that we need to set before them. Everyone can. That's the point. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, every person in this room. This is the verse. I've mentioned this before. This is the verse that changed my prayer life many, many, many years ago when I was just a kid, maybe late teens, early 20s, even. That really turned the light onto the fact this matter of praying and getting answers, it works for me too. It applies to me. It's not something I just have to read about in books of great Christians. It's not something I have to sit and listen to other people stand up in testimony meetings and tell about God answers prayer. And I can have my own testimony of answered prayer. And that really, really did change things for me. Verse number 10, everyone, that includes me, that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Because your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That is what we need. We need a personal relationship with the Father, with our friend, the Lord Jesus, the Son, and with the person, the third person of the Godhead, the third loaf of bread that gives us the fullness of the Godhead, the full loaf, the full package. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be right with the Holy Spirit. We need to be yielded up to the Holy Spirit, and we need to do that on a day-by-day basis, and we need to do that throughout the day, every day, because no matter what it is that we need, the answer to it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one that will work things out, whatever the situations are that we're dealing with. The Holy Spirit is one that will give the wisdom that is necessary for the decisions we got to make and directions we've got to take. The Holy Spirit is one that will give us the insight into solutions and things like that. It is the Holy Spirit that will give us words to speak to friends in their journey that come to us. And it's the Holy Spirit that will supply everything that we do not have. And we have nothing. On the other hand, with the answer of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, we have, in words of verse number 8, as many as we need. So on the one hand, in ourselves, we have nothing. On the other hand, in the person of the Holy Spirit, we have everything. We have everything. We can be a help. We can be a blessing. We can be used. The Lord can use us. The Lord can meet our needs so that we, in turn, can meet other people's needs. We have nothing. We sang deliberately just a little bit ago, I need thee every hour. The reason we're saying that is because we need God. We need the Holy Spirit of God every hour of our life. We really do. We really, really do. We have a tendency to want to try to work everything out ourselves. Because we don't know how to, we have a tendency to fret and stew and worry and everything else like that. None of that's necessary. None of that's necessary. We can pray, and we should. And we should keep praying. And that's the idea here, the importunity. And the Holy Spirit is the answer that our Heavenly Father will give us. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, then all we got to do is let him work. And he will answer, he will provide, he will guide, he will speak, he will use, he will comfort, he will console, he'll convict, he'll cleanse, whatever the need is, it will be done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's active working agent in everything that he does. It is done as far as the working part of it, however how you want to explain it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. All righty? He is the force. He's the power. He's the active agent in the Godhead that gets the work done. And when it comes to answering our prayers, he is the answer. All righty? So it is right, it is proper to ask our Heavenly Father to give the Holy Spirit, not in the sense that you don't have him, not in the sense, dear Spirit of God, I want you to come live inside. He already does. It's a case of asking the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, you are with me. You're going to be with me all day. We're going to face some things today. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. I don't have any answers. I don't have anything to set before all the folks I'm going to meet today and all the situations I'm going to face today. I am so glad, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are with me, and that you know and that you can. And please do. Please do. And then you step out of the way and you let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life, and you will see indeed that the Holy Spirit is the answer that the Heavenly Father gives to to them that ask him. Now, if everything that I just said from this passage is true, it kind of makes it important that we make it a priority and a purpose to ask him, right? How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So let's not be negligent in the asking. Let's make it a deliberate point every morning when we have our devotions. We ask the Holy Spirit, bless our reading of the Scriptures. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide us through the day. We ask the Holy Spirit to control our thoughts, our spirit, our attitude, our words. We ask the Holy Spirit for him to have his way throughout the day in our life. And things kind of get hectic and you kind of get a little away from that and you kind of relegate the Holy Spirit back to the closet again, then you need to time out on this day, sit down, and talk to the Heavenly Father again, because you're fixing to go to a dark time if you go without the light of the Holy Spirit, all right? And your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to help you all day long, every single day. You can. To them that ask him, make it a point. Them that ask him is you. All righty? That's all. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're getting closer. Getting closer. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I trust this might be an encouragement to you to pray. And I don't know that it's necessarily a case of you have to specifically verbalize, "Dear God, give me the Holy Spirit." But it is a case of understanding that when you pray, "Dear Lord, give us this day our daily bread," what you're needing and really asking, if you want God's will, then you're asking for the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that will work all that out.